chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
The disciples of John reported all these things to him, and John, calling two of his disciples to him, sent them to the Lord, saying, Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another? And when the men had come to him, they said, John the Baptist has sent us to you, saying, Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another? In that hour, he healed many people of diseases and plagues and evil spirits, and on many who were blind, he bestowed sight. And he answered them, Go and tell John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, the poor have good news preached to them, and blessed is the one who is not offended by me. When John's messengers had gone, Jesus began to speak to the crowds concerning John. What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Behold, those who are dressed in splendid clothing and live in luxury are in king's courts. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. I tell you, among those born of women, none is greater than John. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
See Grace, peace, and mercy be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. Sing aloud, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O Israel. Rejoice and exult with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. In case you haven't noticed, there seems to be a bit of a pattern here in our readings for this morning. It is a time that we all gather together to rejoice in the birth of our Lord. However, in this joyous time of year, it seems rather easy to pretend to be joyful. Wear the right ugly sweater, drink the proper amount of eggnog, decorate the house, put up the tree with modern pop Christmas songs playing in the background, watch A Christmas Story for the 500th time, and exchange presents. Everyone can do it. In fact, everyone does do it. But for many, it's not joyous at all. In fact, for some, it's the breaking point. It can be difficult for some to celebrate this time of year. Some family members have gone on to be with the Lord. Some can't come home because of financial reasons or distance. Some aren't welcomed at all. Yes, it can be difficult to rejoice and exult with all your heart. So we fake it. It's just simply easier that way. We try to blend in so no one asks. And the truth is, we really do want to rejoice. We want our hearts to sing. We want joy and gladness and the peace that surpasses all understanding. But when we look at our own lives, jobs, family, even our own minds, we find little joy and not much to sing about. So the question is, where can we find true joy? How can we too rejoice and sing and shout aloud? How can what we read this morning actually be for us? Well, the prophet Zephaniah says that joy is in the Lord's promise to his people.
I will gather those of you who mourn for the festival, so that you will no longer suffer reproach. Behold, at that time I will deal with your oppressors, and I will save the lame and gather the outcast, and I will change their shame into praise and renown in all the earth. At that time I will bring you in, at that time when I gather you together, for I will make you renowned and praised among all the peoples of the earth, when I restore your fortunes before your eyes. This is the Lord's promise. And when the Lord makes a promise, you can be sure that he will do it. He will gather us. He will take away our reproach. He will save us and gather us and change our shame into praise and renown in all the earth. This gives us hope and sets us on the path to joy. But when will that be? When will he gather those who mourn for the festival? When will we no longer suffer reproach? When will our oppressors be put to shame and the lame and the outcast gathered together? When will he bring us in, gather us together, and restore our fortunes before our very eyes? That was John's question when he asked, "Are you the one, or should we be looking for someone else?" Now, some will argue here whether John asked for himself, if he was struggling with his own doubts and fears of what was coming, or maybe it was simply for the benefits of the disciples after what they had seen, so that they could understand. It really doesn't matter, because the answer Jesus gives comforts everyone who hears it. John the Baptist leads us to Jesus. So is Jesus the one who will bring God's promises to me? In that hour, Jesus healed many people of diseases and plagues and evil spirits, and on many who were blinded, he restored sight. And he answered John's disciples, "Go, tell John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them." Jesus answers John's question of who he is, and these things will be by fulfilling the promises before their very eyes. Jesus is the coming one. There is no other. Where he is, there the promises are fulfilled with joy and can be found. And as he comes among his people, he came to comfort them in their fear and sorrow and shame and sickness. He comes to undo all that saps joy from us. He came to take away their sin and ours. Where Jesus is, there is our joy. If you are wondering where you might receive joy, especially this time of year, then don't look to the tinsel, to the wrapping paper, the eggnog, or the parties. Look to where Jesus is. That's the reason Zephaniah tells us to sing and shout and rejoice. The Lord has taken away the judgments against you. He has cleared away your enemies. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. Paul does the very same thing here by locating joy in the presence of Jesus. He writes, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. The Lord is at hand." And when Jesus sent them back to John, declaring all that they had seen and heard, joy filled John's prison cell. It filled his and their worried hearts, and it fills ours also. Wherever Jesus and his word can be heard, there the promises of healing and restoration ring out. There you will find a peace that surpasses all understanding. So it goes for you. You who mourn. You who suffer. You who pretend to be joyful because you cannot find it within you. Rejoice and be glad. Shout and sing out to the Lord. The Lord is in your midst too. He is here among us this morning, here in the church, here in the preaching, here in the bread and wine, here among the baptized. He comes to take away the judgment against you, to cast out your fear, to strengthen your weak hands and hearts. He comes with the promises fulfilled of the forgiveness of sins. And he gives you the peace of God that surpasses all human understanding, which will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. He's here. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. You shall never fear evil. So rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Not in a pretend or a momentary joy, but an eternal joy here and now in Jesus, who is with you and who is for you this day in your very midst.